Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Stop trying to do your own thing and come in here trying to put on a facade of worship and accept what he did. And if nobody else accepts it, forget all of them. My hands are going up towards God, not because I've been prompted by a song, but because my heart before God is humble.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's continue on with Pastor Rogers in this new Wednesday night sermon series. This is By Faith. This is part two from that series. Let's go into the message today.
I'm not glad that people will write songs that are biblically incorrect. And that happens in the modern time we're in, and it's happened in the past. Okay? I grew up in a period where they wrote songs like Build Me a Cabin in the Corner of Glory, which is completely not biblical. It might have felt good. And hearing it on the Opry late at night, the Grand Ole Opry, you kind of connected with, oh, yes, build me, I can see a cabin. But there are no cabins in heaven. Okay, there are no cabins in heaven. But even today, the pendulum has swung where we sing more about trees and oceans than we do about the God that we worship. So you got to be careful what you are listening to and what you're calling worship, because it is not based upon your emotions or feelings that take you there. It is based upon a sacrifice. God doesn't want us to be confused about worship. But he has a very specific and particular pattern that he wants us to follow. He gives us a portion of it throughout the scripture, of course, but he gives us a portion of it in John 4 when he's talking to the woman at the well, and he says, there's a time coming and now is where the true worshipers, and now this is the definition of what it means to get there, where the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. This is very important. So on your paper, worshiping God in truth means that we worship God according to the truth of his word, because Jesus said God's word is truth. I want you to look at that for just a moment for all you Bible theologians and studiers of the word of God. You have just seen the example of line upon line, precept upon precept, and how to study the word of God right there. When you get a word like truth, You're not just arbitrarily picking passages of Scripture. There's a line of truth that comes. And how do I define whether or not the Word of God or what the Word truth is all about? You can find it in the Word. John 17:17 gives us very clear, thy Word is truth. So now when I apply that into John 4, where Jesus speaks and says that the true worshiper must worship in spirit and in truth, now I know that truth is not just somebody's idea of what truth is. Truth is based in the Word of God. So now I know how to take the next step. If I'm going to find out how to truly worship God, then that means that I need now to find the truth that is in the truth on how to be able to approach God and how to worship him. Does that make sense to you there? So watch this. On your next installment there, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That word excellent there is defined as the ultimate. Somebody say the ultimate. The ultimate. It is much more. So Abel offered the ultimate sacrifice, and he called it worship. Now I'm going to tell you, because this has been something, of course, it's on my mind recently, even leaving from Sunday. And I'm going to show you something in just a moment. But I want to draw your attention back to the fact of what it means to have an appropriate sacrifice and what it means to worship God by faith. You remember in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I installed for you as commentary after the terminology faith, now faith, in Christ and him crucified, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What you're seeing in the scripture in Genesis chapter 4 with Cain and Abel, and this entire story and what Abel does to worship God, is a foreshadowing, a picture of Christ and him crucified, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Abel offered a lamb on an altar as a prototype, a picture of Christ and him crucified on the altar called the cross. Are you following what I'm saying right here? This is a picture of Christ and him crucified. That's the reason why everything in the Old Testament points toward the cross. Everything in the New Testament points back to the cross. That's very critical for you to understand. This book is speaking about Jesus Christ. This is God's plan for the ages. Are you with me? So it's so important that you get a hold of that, because when you read it in the proper context and you start seeing these symbolic, these symbols and colors and types and all those kind of things through the scripture, every bit of it, in the tabernacle, for example, as we studied it several months ago, in the tabernacle, everything about that tabernacle points and is a picture of Jesus Christ, from the brazen altar to the laver to all of the furniture, all the way to the Ark of the Covenant. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So with that in mind, I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. How did then he do this? You can see in Genesis 4 and 3, the Bible says in Genesis, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Now, I'm about to show you something, so get on board here. So apparently, this is the first indication of a sacrifice made by Cain and subsequently by Abel. God had previously, apparently, and it's been handed down from Adam and Eve, Adam showing his sons how to sacrifice on an altar and to worship God. There was no music. Let me put it plain. In the Garden of Eden, there was no prayer. Who needs prayer when God's walking beside you in the cool of the day? I'm going to show you the creeping of religion into our day that we're living in right now that clouds and fogs us from true worship in spirit and in truth. Now, let me just, I got to throw this out here before I forget. Cain is a type and symbol of the Antichrist that is to come. There was a mark put on him. We'll talk to you about it in a moment. But this particular instance right here shows us Cain's style, but Cain's approach to God in worship. That was wrong. That was rebellious. That was absolutely against what God required. Now, you can give God what you want to give him, but if you don't give him what he requires, he rejects what you give him. So you can come to church, you can sing all the songs, you can hear the sermon, and you can get involved in all kinds of things that are going on. But until it comes in truth and in spirit, until it comes, in other words, if you're sitting at the restaurant and you're there and the waiter comes up to you and he says, what can I get for you? And you say, listen, I want a ribeye, and here you go, I'm going to order yours, rare, right? Okay, there you go. He wants it rare, and a baked potato with sour cream, no chives on that. Want a little bit, a lot of butter on that. Yeah, okay, good. So there it is. And the waiter goes in. He said, yes, sir, I got your order. And he goes into the kitchen, and he comes back out and sets a big, giant plate down of asparagus with some shrimp. And he says, excuse me, I did not order this. Oh, but this is what I wanted to bring you. I'm sorry, I didn't order this. Yeah, but this is what I want to give you. Well, I don't want shrimp. I wanted my steak. I wanted it this way. I wanted baked potato. I do not want shrimp, and I don't like asparagus. I don't want any asparagus coming here. Well, this is all we have in the kitchen. And you better hurry up and take this, because I've only got a short amount of time. And I won't be here tomorrow. You going to be here now? No, I won't be here tomorrow. I got some games. I got some business. I got this. I got that. I got all these other things going on. So I'm only here to wait on one day a week. I'm part-time. I'm right here. Y'all can't say amen in here tonight. God is sitting at the table. And they that wait. But if you bring God something that he didn't order, he's going to push it back and say, I didn't order that. This is what's going on here. Write this down. At harvest time, he came to worship God with the fruit of his hard work. This is the difference between grace and works. And there are so many people that are in the church today that base their religion and their relationship with God off of works. That if they do this, do that, do something else, then somehow they're in. If I say the right things, if I do the right things, then I'm in. And it nullifies true worship. It nullifies your relationship with God. And God said, I didn't order your works. Unacceptable. Are y'all with me here tonight? How did Abel's sacrifice differ from that? Well, in the Bible there in Genesis chapter 4, you can see the entire story. Cain offers, the Bible tells us, here he comes. Abel offers a more excellent sacrifice. Cain offers a more pleasant. Watch this. This is the problem with it. Because it was fruit that he had worked from the ground. I have a feeling he might have taken it and washed it off and made an incredible salad on top of the altar of sacrifice and said, God, look what I did for you. I did this for you, God. Come on, somebody. You're hearing your own self. God, I did this for you. I came to church for you. I lifted my hands for you. I prayed for you. Kind of quiet in here. I did all of these things for you. And God said, I don't want the work of your hands. Because it shows me the pride, the element of pride. The Bible says here in Genesis 4 that the Lord had respect. This is another terminology for that, excellent. Respect, or he accepted Abel's sacrifice but rejected Cain's. Even though to our, now get a picture of this. Please get out of what you think now and what you're reading right here as Abel's acceptable sacrifice and Cain's rejected sacrifice. Look at them on face value. Here is Cain washing the fruit, labored in it, put hard work, sweat, and tears into it, gets all this fruit, puts it on the altar, offers it up to God, and if we looked at it, we would say, that looks incredible. I'm sure he brought the best of the field, not some blemished fruit. Here it is. We look at it, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's very pleasant to the eye. It's acceptable to man, but rejected by God. On the flip side of that, you have Abel's sacrifice. Get this. Here's Cain's, a beautiful salad, the best-looking salad and fruit you've ever seen in your life. On this side, a bloody, massacred lamb split down the middle, blood running all over the place. The integrals of that lamb are laid out. The head is laid over. The legs are laid over. And here is a bloody, sacrificed mess. And to the natural eye, even to this day, people reject the cross because it is not a palatable salad. It is a bloody massacre. And until you understand that it was my sin, not my salad, that put him there, my sin, not his, then this is what it cost in worship. So my casual approach, boy, I feel my help here. My casual approach towards God and what I offer up on a daily basis is many times salad when if I would come to him and say to him, it is not me, O God, that has done this. You have done it all. And I come to you humbly because I am a sinner saved by grace.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the Word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Join us March 15th at 6 p.m. here at Pace Assembly for Prophecy Files with guest Perry Stone. This event is free and open to the public.